Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us this morning, Gabriel Krauss, writer and analyst at the Institute of Race Relationships. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
So what is the impact of this municipal law? And isn't it just a little suspicious that it comes into effect on voting day?
Yeah, there is something to that. I'm just hearing a bit of an echo. I hope that's not coming through to your side.
No, it's not. But it's probably quite annoying for you when you hear yourself rebounding. So if you can manage, great. If not, we'll call you back.
No, it's good now. Thank you so much.
Great.
So there are several things going on with the Municipal Structures Act. One of them is that there will be more ward councillors. This is, I think, the most straightforward case or the most straightforward part of the act that is just about expanding the patronage network, trying to make it more appealing to get in there. This is part of a broader plan to basically make districts more important. South Africa's got three tiers from inception, the national, provincial, and the municipal. The districts were then invented as a kind of in-between tier between municipalities and provinces. And while there are some good theoretical arguments for them, the effect has been a net drain on the fiscus, and just a sort of expansion of vampiric patronage-style stuff. On the other hand, there are some good measures in the Structures Act to mitigate against corruption. Councillors, the rules are clarified for conflicts of interest. I think largely in a salubrious way, councillors are forced to make declarations within 60 days of their election about all kinds of businesses and assets that might be connected to the work.
I see that they need to shares and securities in any company, interest in trust, directorship, partnerships, interest in property, pension. So they have to declare all of this.
Yes. And that transparency sort of lines up with what's going on with national legislation in terms of getting companies to disclose disclose the ultimate beneficent asset holder. So this is part of a larger drive to sort of shine a light into every crevice. I think for private actors, there are more concerns about giving government access to all information. It's more debatable. I think for ward councillors, it seems on balance like this will be a good idea, and that it could make it easier for the prosecuting authority to intervene in allegations of corruption with less work to do, the prosecuting authority obviously being overburdened because it's already been done through the forced disclosure. And then the final thing, and this is crazy that it wasn't a law yet, is that municipal councillors are disqualified for 2 years if they suffer a serious criminal conviction.
Right. One would have thought, that that would have been a given.
Yeah. So the bar is very low, for good legislation to mitigate against corruption. And in some senses, the Structures Act does raise that bar. On the other hand, the moves, to sort of increasing minimum ward councillor capacities per municipality so that district councils can be better staffed, just seems like dangling a carrot in front of would-be politicians. That's not really about the work that you're going to do and more about what you can get out of the system.
Right. The other concern about this is we can have all the best laws in all the world. If there isn't the intention to prosecute, if there isn't intention of holding people, to hold people liable and responsible. And that's what we've seen over and over again in South Africa. And it's become almost an accepted modus operandi, specifically of the ruling party or the governing party, that they'll make these big statements about corruption, but when it happens, there's very little accountability. We go through ethics committees and other stuff, and we try and encourage people to resign, but ultimately there isn't the sense that people are actually held accountable. Those examples are few and far between. Isn't it more important to not have the showmanship of these beautifully crafted laws, but rather to actually show action?
Yeah, I mean, the laws do matter, but I think your point is very well made. Within a business, you know, we're all operating under the same laws, but businesses clearly perform better or worse than others. And a lot of that does come down to leadership, to the culture, to the work ethic that's being espoused there. I think at the municipal level, especially if you go into rural South Africa, it's worth bearing the following in mind. In some sense, there is accountability, but what happens is people get punished for doing their job because it embarrasses others, especially when their job is whistleblowing on corruption. There were 90 deaths by violence of municipal ward councillors around the 2016 election, sort of going from 2016 into 2017 when the fights were ongoing. The numbers are lower now, but there have been at least 9 what seem to be political assassinations of councillors this year. So it's very concerning. Obviously, in each case, there are multiple versions, and assassination is just the most extreme level. If you get to a more mundane level, it's just so common to hear people say, you know, I was a ward councillor and then I left because I was going around, I was canvassing, I was trying to deal with water reticulation, I was trying to sort of cooperate with the people around, and then I was told I'm playing favorites. I was told that I'm not following the proper structure. I'm not showing solidarity. I'm criticizing others in public. You mustn't do that. And eventually my life was made so awkward that I had to leave it and get into business. I think that it's very difficult at grassroots for political parties to try and draw in talent to serve the public, because the inner workings of so many municipalities are so deeply corrupt, deeply incentivizing absenteeism and graft, that it's a sort of horrible environment to try and get things done in. And those battles need to be won municipality by municipality. Each one is, in a sense, its own business. And part of what goes on in that battle is what voters do, but part of what goes on is how independent or party councillors how they hold each other accountable, and whether the standard that they're using is how do we get the most out of this, or whether the standard they're using is how do we best serve the public. And I think those standards are day and night. I think it's pretty clear from the outside which one is the standard of account presiding over most of the country. And I think that really needs to be reversed. As you say, whatever the laws are, if you have an internal work ethic, a work culture of grab rather than value add, there's no ways you're going to have a sustainable growth path.